Yes, true communications can and do come in this way, but it is a somewhat uncertain method of communication because perfect conditions are hard to come by. Nevertheless, it can help and comfort people on both sides of the veil, more especially soon after a passing, and must not be condemned as undesirable or wrong. May we suggest the importance of quickening all your perceptions when you are hoping to receive messages from the world of spirit through a medium? We have sometimes been sad to witness the efforts made by the spirit people to reach someone who was rather dull in understanding. We know that you say, "Oh, we like to have all our T's crossed and the I's dotted." But those in spirit do not always cross the T's and dot the I's, not because they decline to satisfy your reasoning mind, but because they want you to use your own God-given gifts. They want you to do some of the work yourself. Communication is like a bridge reaching from one world to the other. There must be an effort from both sides for a meeting to take place. So remember that you are as much responsible for building your part of the bridge as your communicators are for their part. As we have said, communication from our side of life to yours travels via the etheric body. The etheric body is connected with, indeed interpenetrates the nervous system. A medium is usually a highly strung and sensitive instrument, so that when communication is being sought, his or her whole nervous organism becomes keyed up. Many people have attempted to devise an instrument, which will serve as a bridge, and thus eliminate the medium. They think that communications received in this way would be much more reliable. We do not think this is correct. We think that communication between the two worlds will always depend to a degree upon the ultra-sensitive human organism. What we will call outer communication through a medium can take many forms, such as clairvoyance, psychometry, direct voice, automatic writing. But although many true and good communications can and have come through in this way, remember that the messages received do not necessarily always come from the spirit. They can come from the subconscious mind, or in the case of some clairvoyance and in psychometry be a form of aura reading. We do not say that it is impossible for true and clear messages to come through, but you must remember the many factors, which can make this form of communication unreliable. Sometimes a message will come through perfectly clearly, another time it will be confused and hazy. It is necessary for the medium to have certain qualifications, for instance the power to become attuned to God, to resign mind and heart to the supreme truth, wisdom and love of the Great White Spirit. We emphasize that the medium must concentrate wholly upon and wholly desire truth, eliminating all self-desire, and this is not easy for the ordinary person. We still think, therefore, that the safer and wiser path is to unfold your own spiritual faculties. We do not mean psychic gifts and thereby reach up so that you yourself can commune with the beyond. A message, a feeling, a conviction right in the heart that your dear one has spoken direct to you means more than numerous psychic evidences, for beyond all these outer methods of communication via the etheric body, is what we are going to call communion of spirit. When you touch this plane you are nearing contact with pure truth, for communion does not come via any of the psychic senses, but in the heart chakra. You perhaps know where the heart chakra is. To the clairvoyant it looks like a disc of light over the heart. In one who is unawakened it glows so that it is just visible, but in the spiritually quickened it is pure, beautiful and radiant. The pictures of the saints sometimes depict a jewel blazing on the breast. Our Roman Catholic brethren draw attention to the heart chakra by the flaming heart seen in pictures of the Master Jesus. Through this radiation and development, communion is able to take place. In this kind of communion, no words are needed. Shall we call it the language of the heart? The recipient of the message from the Spirit has an inner knowing, a certainty. Sometimes with a medium you may listen to messages, which are meant to direct your mind along certain channels. These messages will attune you to a spiritual plane of consciousness where you will receive an inner knowing. You may not be able to explain its nature to any living soul afterwards. Nevertheless, you will feel an absolute certainty that you have been holding communion with one who is very near and dear. For this you do not need words. There has been an interplay, an inflow of spiritual light from heart to heart, an affinity, an attunement of spirit. You have indeed experienced true communion. Usually this vital inner communication with the beyond comes to those who have prepared themselves, but a man need not necessarily seek to be alone in a church or sanctuary. He may unconsciously raise himself through prayer. His prayer may be unuttered, yet a true prayer to God. The very act of prayer truly attunes the man or woman to the world of spirit. You should of course be sensible and well balanced about these things. You must live on earth in the right way, understanding that yet are here in a body for a certain purpose. The communication from the world of pure spirit will not be denied if you keep humble in here and simple in faith and trustful in the eternal love. If you hear something which seems godlike, true and beautiful in its wisdom, do not say afterwards, "It was all my imagination." No visitor from a realm above will give a message contrary to the law of Christ, nor yet speak words which are unkind or hurtful, and will never send you off on some wild goose chase. By their fruits ye shall know them. What comes from the Christ circle will bear its stamp or hallmark. The condition, then, for clear and perfect reception is one of stillness of mind and silence, not only on the outer plane but deep, deep, deep within the inner world, the inner place. Beyond all conflicting vibrations is the silence, and in that silence is God. God is behind all form, all activity, all manifestation. This center of light within your own being is not confined to you alone, for as it unfolds it reaches out and touches the universal. Then you will become en rapport with radiant beings whom you love to contact. Remember that your own loved ones, after passing through the astral planes, go onward and become conscious of the celestial world, and in that celestial world you can meet them face to face. Never make the mistake of thinking that because you dwell in a body you are bound down to the material world only and are ruled by material things. You are divine as well as human. Remember, you have a celestial body as well as a physical, which has been given you to use even now. It is a great error to believe that you cannot reach the glories of the heaven world. In the course of his evolution, man will have to learn how to go as a traveler, a visitor, to his true home in the celestial world, and there see for himself the glories which are prepared for every soul who loves God. The place of communion is the temple within your own being, of which the Master Jesus spoke, which all masters through all ages have taught their pupils to seek. A communion in which you eat the bread and drink the wine of life. The Holy Grail, my brethren, is within your heart, it is also the universal cup. Pursue your path patiently, you will surely reach your goal and know the joy of life, for all the mists will clear and happiness will be your crown. The Temple of Light. While you are here on earth you are building a temple. In the first place you are maintaining your body by the kind of food you eat, the air you breathe. The desires, emotions, tastes of earthly life are simultaneously building your astral body, and your thoughts, your imagination, your prayer, your aspiration and all the instincts of your creative self are building your higher mental body. To an advanced clairvoyant all these bodies are visible in the aura. The astral body, which pervades and surrounds the physical, is seen as an emanation of color either refined and delicate, or else coarse, crude and ugly. The more highly evolved and sensitive the person, the more beautiful the aura becomes. Interpenetrating the astral is seen the radiation of the mental body, and there are several higher auras which are more rarely seen. You must develop special senses, pure and subtle bodies in order to reach and penetrate the pure and subtle planes of life. But if you neither think about nor aspire to a higher life, if you are content with cruder material things, you cannot hope to get there. Truly, to contact the higher planes of life the body must be purified by right living, right aspiration, true prayer and an ever-reaching upward, the astral body by heavenly desires, by spiritual aspiration, by refined tastes, and love of beauty in all its forms, the mental body by meditation, imagination, a continual reaching up. Thus you are building and perfecting your subtler bodies, but until you have developed them, you are living in a kind of prison house. Beyond the mental plane is what we call the Temple of Light. It is from that level that the soul eventually returns to incarnation, but it can dwell there in a state of supreme happiness and bliss for a long time after its strenuous years of service on earth. There is no hard and fast rule as to how long this shall be. There is no forcing of a soul back into incarnation, although it is the law of life that it shall eventually come back. At a certain stage of its spiritual evolution, the soul quickens, awakens, as it were, and itself decides to retrace its steps and reincarnate, not only to gain more knowledge but often to give wider and greater service. All that the soul ever performs and experiences on the earth is being built into its temple of light. Through spiritual training and development alone can you become aware of your temple, or your celestial body, while still on earth. When, in your meditation, you are caught up into a pure and glorious state of consciousness, you touch your celestial body. Man's soul is comprised of the astral and mental bodies and the celestial body or temple of light of which we have just spoken. These are his soul, but there is something else. There is man's spirit. When the soul has perfected itself, that is, has garnered all the experience possible from the physical life, the spirit is ready to undergo the Christ initiation. A wonderful resurrection or enlightenment is waiting when the Christ in man, or the spirit in man, stirs and awakens. Christ himself paved the way for this quickening of humanity, and Jesus became the Christed one who trod the path and demonstrated the way to humanity. He said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, the way to life eternal." Some people think that humanity cannot save itself without worshipping Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross. This is not so. It is not the outer Christ that man is seeking, except as an example and demonstration. His great need is to find the inner Christ. Thus, when the temple of light is completed, there comes rebirth into heavenly conditions, birth into a life of pure bliss. The Christ consciousness. How can you as an individual bring into your lives the power and the life of the cosmic Christ? First, by remembering that Christ is not some remote being whom you will meet someday, if you are good enough, after you have passed away from the earth. No, Christ is an ever-present power and intelligence. Christ is a friend, a brother to you now, if you so wish. He is also a savior. We are not speaking so much of the human master Jesus, but of the cosmic and mystical glory which has been since the beginning of life on this planet, and yet who is so understanding of man's needs that he can and does take upon himself human form. It is very important for you to realize that this being of light and glory can come to you in a human form, understanding human and personal problems, understanding your perplexity, your fears, your grief, your loneliness. Today man has developed mentally, but lacking wisdom has neither humility nor simplicity in his heart to enable him to comprehend the beauty and the glory of his Creator's love. If someday you think you have seen a vision of the Master Jesus, this is not mere imagination. Jesus also is not separate from humanity. His soul was prepared for his great mission, and he was sent forth by his Creator to this earth to be used by Christ, the Son of God, so that he could speak through a human personality to tell men the truth about their salvation. For salvation is the right and only word to describe the mission of the Christ Spirit, for when the Christ Spirit quickens in man, man is literally saved from his sins. He has nothing in the things of this world, once the Christ Spirit quickens within him and he has grown to full stature. This is the meaning of salvation for all humanity, not salvation through man's belief in one particular man, but salvation by reason of the Christ love within man himself. This will forbid him to wage war against his brother or to treat his brother as less than himself, but will inspire him to words and actions of kindness and consideration, to work for God in daily life, to live in consciousness of a glory above, around and within him. This is salvation by Christ. Jesus once said to his disciples and to those who had ears to hear, and minds and hearts ready for the truth, "Lo, I will send you a comforter." He said also, "If I do not go from you, if I do not leave you, you will not know the comforter." Your comforter, my children, is the Christ within your hearts. But while you are holding fast to outer things which you can see and touch, while you are clinging to your outer life, you cannot receive the Comforter, the Christ within. He comes to bring to you illumination, a vision of the glory of the whole plan of man's creation. Are you bereaved, my brother, my sister? Have you lost one who is near and dear to you, and are you yearning, searching on the outer, the physical plane, for that lost one? You feel that the heavens are as brass and you make no contact. Rise through earnest prayer direct to Christ as one who knows and understands your sorrow and your need, then the heavens will open and the Comforter will come into your heart, your vision will clear and you will see your loved one. Then you will know that where you love you cannot lose, for when you love, you are united in love, there is no separation. Your loved one will not appear in the body which has been shed, but retain his form because God has created all men with not only physical form but with the form of the soul. If you are sick and are faced perhaps with a long illness, or the illness of one you love, you can still rise in your spirit to meet Christ, the Golden One. When you can truly do this, all sickness and pain are healed. He is the great healer, he demonstrated it through Jesus, he's still demonstrating the healing power of the Creator. But man requires to put aside childish earthly things, and live in the consciousness of an enfolding, interpenetrating life power, which is all love and wisdom. Are you anxious about tomorrow? Can you see no way to turn? Do you fear to take the next step? Turn, then, to the Golden One, be patient and rest in faith, in more than faith in full consciousness of His wisdom. You have no need to be anxious or to fear. Your Creator loves you and is guiding you step by step. Formerly you have tried this path and that, and they reach nowhere. But at last, as you rise in spirit towards the Golden One, you come again to the main stream, which is your life, and that life is now leading you directly home. You must know that this guiding light and love are ever with you, through life and through the great initiation called death it will never leave you. So, children of earth, we raise your consciousness again to the Christ life, which is, all love, wisdom and strength. Be still and lift up your hearts as children in simplicity. See for yourselves the glory of the arisen Christ. You are in the company of heaven. Hosts and hosts of shining forms surround you. Silently commune with this vast company and with the King of Kings, your Savior. Take heart, have courage, begin afresh from this very moment to do all good, and to love with all your heart and to be thankful for every blessing of your daily lives. Know always that underneath are the everlasting arms, in this world and in all worlds to come. The end.